Praise the Lord. Today, we're blessed to have a guest speaker. He is our pastor in Living Word, Lakewood, California. Before I introduce him to you, I remember when I was still in the youth ministry, Pastor June was asked to preach in one of the Saturdays. And I will never forget his preaching. In fact, I still remember his text. It was Ephesians chapter 6. He was speaking about the full armor of God. I'm not so sure if I was already a Christian back then, but that preaching really made an impact in my life because through his preaching, I was able to see how beautiful the Word of God is and how sufficient it is and how relevant it is. I asked him if he still remembers that time when he preached. He said, I forgot about it, but I still remember that day. And I thank God for the life of Pastor June. He has been serving the Lord for, I believe, 20 years now as a pastor, 16 years in California, 17 already. For those of you who don't know him, Pastor June was born and raised here in Cebu. He went to Philippine Christian Gospel School for his elementary education, University of Cebu for his high school years, and graduated college from the University of San Carlos, Talamban, with a degree in architecture. He is married to Gigi Ang, and they are blessed with four children, David, Kirei, Joshua, and Stephen. In fact, they're here joining us together with the mother-in-law of Pastor June, Sister Virgie. I just want us to welcome them. Can we ask them to please stand? We just want to welcome you to Living Word IT Park. Pastor June was saved in the year 1988 and is currently serving as pastor in Lakewood Living Word in Garden Grove since 2006. So guys, if you have friends, relatives who live in this area, please let them know that we have a Living Word church there. All right? So let us now welcome Pastor June Ang.
Hello. Morning. There you go. You can hear me. That's good. And greetings from... Not from there. Greetings from your brethren in...
Lakewood or Garden Grove. You know, it's kind of scary to preach to this large of a church. Our church there is only about, I don't know, just really small. And as well, you have very qualified pastors here. Pastor TJ, I call him Master. Now, because he took up masteral studies, how else are you going to call him? 2 years from now, right? You're going to be Dr. TJ. Now, honestly, seriously, in all seriousness, though, it's a privilege to be able to stand before you. And then when Pastor TJ asked me to share, just like what I said in Manawa, like, yeah, sure. Only to realize later, what have I done? Why did I say yes? And eventually he said, this is the text. We're going to insert you in the series that we're doing. So after this, he will probably preach on this again. Okay? But I don't mind. And I was even telling him, you want to cancel me? It's fine. But again, good morning. And it's a privilege to be here. It's an honor. So as we go to the Word of God, let's pray. And as well, when you listen, do be praying for me as I deliver the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you, God, for grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary. We thank you that you have given us the privilege to know you, to make you known. You've given us your word that we can feast upon. Lord, this morning, once more, we lay our hearts before you. We ask, God, search us. Let there be no iniquity in us. Let there be no sin in whatever shape, form, fashion. Let there be no hindrance whatsoever in our coming before you, in our listening to your voice. Holy Spirit, as your word is preached, anoint our ears, our hearts, our souls, our minds, that we get to understand. Open our hearts wide, that we would be receptive to your corrections, to your instructions, to your encouragements. Lord, have your way in our midst. Let your name and your name alone be glorified. We ask of you, Lord, that once more, allow us to be in awe of who you are and what you have done for us and even the promises that you have given to us. Again, Lord, have your way. Have your way in our midst, God. Be glorified, for that is the reason why we have come together this morning, to see you lifted up. Lord, thank you again. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, Pastor TJ assigned me to this text, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 to 19. And we will be reading the text, and if you care to join me, do stand for the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 to 19. And let's read it together. Starting from verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. These are the words of the living God. You may be seated right now. Again, if I may entitle this message, like to entitle it, God's Word and the Godly Life. God's Word and the Godly Life. Just to give you a little overview, I will be sharing 3 points with you in 2 sub-points, okay? So that you would know when we will be ending. And I have my timer here because I'm not known for short sermons. I hope you don't mind. I only get to do this once in a while. But before we proceed to the point, let me ask you this, and I believe, if not all, majority of you know the answer to this question already. What is the chief end of man? Okay, some of you are just bashful and shy, that's why. I believe you know this, right? That the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Or if you take the words of Piper, you would say the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. Now, if I may put it or sum it up in one word, I would say that is basically becoming godly. It is to be godly. Our chief end is to be godly. But then again, what does it mean to be godly? Okay? What does it mean to be godly? How does it come about? Now, when you say, how does it come about? Don't you know, Pastor, that it's by grace? Of course, we know that, right? That it is by grace. You become godly by the grace of God. Absent the grace of God, you'll become religious. You'll become a hypocrite. You'll become self-righteous. But you will be nowhere near godly. Okay? So it is by grace. And again, we all agree with that. But then again, how would you know that you are becoming godly? How would you know that you are becoming godly? That you are living a life of godliness. How would you know? How is it manifested? Now, I would contend that being godly is simply being this, God-centered. Being God-centered, not just on the Lord's Day, not just when God's people are gathered, not just during discipleship time, not just during prayer meeting time, but being God-centered in all areas of life. Being God-centered in your workplace, being God-centered in your businesses, being God-centered in your profession, being God-centered in your dreams, in your ambitions, in your desires, in what brings joy, in what brings satisfaction to life. We just sang it a while back, right? For to me, what to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can we honestly say that? For me, to live is Christ. That is God-centered. That is God-centered. There's no divide between the spiritual and the practical. It is quite sad because a lot of Christians, they do this. Like, you know what, Pastor? On Sundays, I need to put on this mask. They're bipolar. You know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Did I get it right? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Okay. Pardon the, the ignorance. But you know what I mean, right? Like, this two-face. Before there was this businessman, Christian businessman. I was talking to him. And he said, you just don't understand business, Pastor. In the back of my mind, you don't know my background. I used to be in business. So I kind of get that. Like, you know, I can relate. Okay? There are a lot of temptations. And my thing is this. If you're a businessman and you cannot do business without doing something that's not right, I would say, look for another business. Why? Because you are a Christian first of all. More than anything, you're a child of God. Unless you're not. Okay? If you're not, then by all means, go ahead. Going back again, how do you know that you are living a life of godliness? Be God-centered. And the way to know if you are on the right path is by examining and evaluating the way you're living your Christian life. How are you living your Christian life? Is it in accordance to and in conformity with the Word of God? Or is it simply, this is how it is supposed to be? A lot of times we tend to twist scripture. We tend to water it down. You know, I've met a lot of Christians and they would say, let's not talk about doctrine. Let's not talk about these things. You know, as long as we do life together and all of these things. And I say, that's good. But my question is this. How can we do life together? How can we really mature in the faith if we don't know scripture? What's the basis? What you want, what he wants, and what makes what you want better than what the other person wants, right? The standard is outside of us. The standard is the Word of God. And that is how we evaluate our Christian life. Am I really living according to the Word of God? Now, you might already know this principle-wise. In other words, you have all the head knowledge. You are, you know, theologically gifted. Okay? Your pastor has a master's degree. You have a master and a master. You're the master of masters. Okay? You're so brilliant. Good for you. But what about in practice? What about in practice? And again, I've been a Christian for quite some time. By God's grace, you know, I'm still here. Good that it is not by our works, it's by God's grace. And God has been so faithful, I've been able to serve Him for a number of years. But I have met a lot of Christians that they know a lot, head knowledge, they know the answers and all of these things. But when you look at their lives, you get the question, like, are you really a believer? You know, as Pastor TJ mentioned, I went to PCGS. Dr. Nicole here went to PCGS. And some of you probably here. And in that school, you are taught the gospel. At grade 3, I can never forget that. At the class of Miss Batoktoy. Okay, same. October 1, 1981. I received the Lord Jesus into my heart. The problem is this. Up until high school, I was living like an unbeliever because I was an unbeliever. I had the knowledge. In high school, I had a teacher. So when she learned that I went to Christian school, so she started to talk to me. But, you know, hindsight, she probably saw that my life was not consistent. It's like you profess to be a believer, but I don't see any evidences there. So she started to share the gospel to me. But then again, I knew the answers. Okay? So for 2 years, she cannot really get through me. You know, have you received Jesus? Oh yeah, again, October 1, 1981, 8:30 in the morning in the class of Miss Batoktoy, grade 3 Eagles. Oh man, even the section I still remember. Okay? A lot of times, there are a lot of Christians who are like that. We have full of head knowledge. We have big heads. The problem is this. It's just in our heads. It's not going down to our hearts. And as a result, it is not seen in our hands. And a lot of Christians are doing that. That's why I ask, not just the principle. Principles are good. Because without the principles, your practice will be wrong. But don't remain with the principle. What about the practice? And I believe one of the best ways to know is to ask yourself whether the Christian life is worth living. If you want to know whether you are practicing it the way you're supposed to be practicing your faith, I believe you need to ask, is the Christian life worth living? And I believe basically there will be three answers to this question. One is no. Or you doubt it, like, nah, I just want to go to heaven, but living the Christian life, that's another thing. That is why there's this debate about Lordship and Savior right now. That there are professing Christians, there are Christians who say that those who believe that Jesus must be your Lord, not just your Savior, they say that is good works or that's wrong. And I would always say, if Jesus is not your Lord, how can He be your Savior? There's just no way. How can He save you if you're still the one in charge of your life? It just doesn't work. And if you go deeper even, take away the Lordship of Jesus, would He still be the same? No. If Jesus so decides, I mean, for the sake of argument, if Jesus so decides that He will not save anyone, does that change Him? No. He will still be full of glory. Why? Because we all deserve the wrath of God. And in the grace of God, He just so decided, He just so chose that I will save you. That's why it's by grace. Going back, again, Christian life, is it worth living? No. Why not? Or you might say, yes. My question is this, if you say yes, so how has or how does your faith affect your daily life? How does your faith affect your daily life? Your dealings with people, your desires, your dreams, your delights, what pleases you? What brings joy and satisfaction? Again, the dreams that we have. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the driver? Now, when I say driver, is He the director? Is He the determiner of your decisions? The definer of your perspectives in life? How you see things? How you evaluate things? Or is He just your driver, your chauffeur? One who drives you around. Bring me to Ayala. Bring me to Seaside. Bring me home at your beck and call. Right? He can be your driver. In other words, he's your director, decider, determiner, definer of your life. Or he is just someone who drives you around. Where do you want to go? And that is wrong. One who takes orders from you to take you where you want to go so that you get to do what you want to do. And your favorite verse is, I am no longer under the law, I am under grace. Amen. And then, problem is, what comes after? That's why I live my life like the way I want to. No. When the Bible says you are no longer under law, but you're under grace, it is basically this. You've been set free so that you get to do what you are supposed to do, and that is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. You are not set free like, okay, let loose. Do whatever you want. No. You're set free from the bondage of sin so that now you can, with all of your might, say, Lord, I choose to live for you. Lord, I want you more than anything. Whether your answer is no or the wrong yes, or even the right yes, I would say one of the primary reasons for this is because of how you perceive God's word and the godly life. How you perceive, how do you see the word of God? And again, pardon for keep on repeating this because this is very important. Bear with me. Because I have heard this from a lot of Christians, well-meaning, and they would say, I mean, let's not do that. Let's just stick with this. You know? Don't go deeper. That's just for scholars. That's just for the pastors. That is not true, brethren. That is not true. How many of you here, okay, are still spoon-fed when you eat? Do you eat by yourself? Why? And why is it when it comes to the Word of God? I mean, I'm not saying don't listen to the pastors. Of course, God has ordained them to be there to equip us. Ephesians says that, okay? So that we will be equipped for service. But then again, a lot of times we're so dependent on Pastor TJ. Pastor TJ, Pastor TJ, Pastor TJ is on speed dial. You're in front of someone needing prayers. Pastor TJ, put you on speakerphone. Can you pray? You know, someone asks you, Pastor TJ, can you share the gospel to this person? Okay, why? Because, again, our perception when it comes to the Word of God and the godly life is skewed. If your view is wrong, then definitely your answer would be a no. It would say no. The Christian life is not worth living. It's just so burdensome, full of suffering. My motto in life is YOLO. You only get to live once. And I say, yeah, amen. That's why I don't waste it. Make it count for the kingdom. Your answer would be no. If your understanding is inaccurate, then your response would be the wrong yes. I want Jesus. Yeah, I will live the Christian life so that I will be like Brother Lawrence here, looking good. You know, I would be all the money in the world that I need, I'm going to have because I am living for Jesus. You know, I love Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, I want a BMW. And the Lord says, that's not for you. I'm not saying driving a BMW is wrong, okay? And what do you do? Like, I'm not going to live for you anymore, Lord. You didn't give me this. But if your perception is biblically spot on, or at least near accurate, then your reply would be the right yes. Why? Because first of all, God's word gives life abundantly. You understand, you know this. That God's word gives life abundantly. In other words, it makes life worth living. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, our text, it says there, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Let me point this out. Verse 10 is the main command.
and serves as the foundation of the contention that God's word is to be highly regarded and recognized as timelessly relevant. When it says, here, okay, here, my son, that word here there is not simply the perception of hearing, but involves heeding. Okay? I think that's easy to remember, right? Hear and heed. You get to hear and you heed. You obey. You don't simply, oh, that's nice, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, agree. But then again, are you going to do it? Let's talk about it some more later. Yeah? As I've said, some people say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. But living for Him, nah. Haven't you heard the song, Pastor? Which says, you didn't want heaven without me? And for the Bisaya here, my response is this, waka kyape? Kam lifong? Are you serious? You know? And why are there Christians who think that way? Because they don't understand that the Word of God is supposed to be obeyed. Hear my son and accept my sayings. That when it says hear, you fathom and then you fulfill. Okay? You perceive and then you pursue. It's not just for information, it is for instruction. Okay? We are informed so that we will be instructed. Always keep that in mind. And it says, hear and accept. The accepting there is the grasping of the hand. Huh? For the tihiks. For the stingy. That is how it feels. Instead of holding on so much to your money, grasp the word of God with all your might. Hear and accept. And it says there, and the years of your life will be many. As I was studying this, it is really, you know, I came across something really interesting. Because in the Hebrew language, their language is rooted in verbs, okay? It's like it's an action thing. And then from the verb, they go to the noun. I mean, that's technical, but I just want you to know that, just in case you're interested. But the word years is sometimes, the root is sometimes, okay, used to describe a change in character. A change in character or way of life. It is also used in the sense of being different, to be different. So, I would say, if this is to be taken into account, okay, if this is to be taken into account, this verse is not merely nor even primarily about the number of years, but the progress. Okay? The fullness that comes with time. And it is contrasted at the end of our text, unlike the world's ways, which only produces degradation and obsolescence in time. The Christian life is always improving, becoming better and better and better. Now you may say, but my experience isn't that, Pastor. I would say it is because you are not living it according to the word. And if you say, I am, I would say it is because you are not understanding it in the right light. You are looking at it from the wrong perspective. Maybe, in all probability, and I would say it's very high, that you are in the middle of it instead of God being in the middle of it. Remember what Jesus said? That the Psalms, the prophets, the law speak of who? Him. He came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Not that he will do the law, but that he is the fulfillment of the law. He is the embodiment. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. Keep that. Let's keep that in mind, brethren. Why? Because that is our anchor. That is what will tether us to God. That no matter what comes into our life, no matter where we find ourselves in the Word of God, we would get to know it properly. The reason why a lot of Christians, again, have this struggle in life, they don't think that life is worth living, it is because they have misunderstood Scripture. They think that the Word is all about themselves. You know, when they do their meditation, they do Bible cutting. Remember, you probably heard that story, right? So there's this guy, so he does Bible cutting. Lord, what is your will for me today? So he closed his eyes and afterwards opened the Bible, pointed at it like. But then again, it says, and Judas hanged himself. One more time. You know, probably 2 out of 3. Just in case. Open to another part and it says, you open his eyes like, go do likewise. Do you think that's what God wants us to do? Of course not, right? And why do these things happen? It is because we have misunderstood the Word of God. Our perception is wrong. The years of your life will be many. It will be numerous. It will be multiplied. And it is beautiful because this word speaks of hurling a flying object with a thought instrument, like a bow. And the years of your life will be many, not just number of years. And that's why I say, if this is to be taken into account, because godly people, there have been godly people who have died young, right? So, if you merely say that this is just a number of years, Pastor, what do you mean? So, you mean to say that those who died young were not godly? Why weren't their years multiplied? That's why I say, you know what? This is more than just the number of years. It speaks of abundant life, just as our Lord Jesus promised, right? I have come, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And if you look at the context there, it is talking about how the Word of God is delivered. Oh, false teachers. Okay? This is a foundational philosophy that each and every believer must and ought to embrace. The philosophy that God's Word is God's ordained means by which and through which God's children get to live the life He has promised to them. Without the Word of God prominent in our life, without us understanding the truth, the beauty, the greatness, the preciousness of the Word of God, you know what? Forget godliness. Forget it. Because you will never become godly. John 6:63, it says there, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The words that I have spoken to you, Jesus is saying here, are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. As he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. They came to a crossroads and Jesus says, okay, so what about you guys? Why are you still here? Peter says, where will we go? The rest left. Why did they stay? Because they understood that this is it. This is it. God's word gives life abundantly. It makes life worth living. Second, God's word given And we know it has been given, right? God's word given gears one's life to be godly. It gears our life to be godly. Okay? It strengthens us. It equips us. Or you might say, picture it like you're driving. If you put it in D, what happens? Where do you move? You move backward, forward, right? Put it on R. Where do you go? Side? Do you? It should be L. No, you go reverse, right? Okay, it gears us. Where are we supposed to go? It gives direction. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, of course, according to God's way, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Jump to verse 19, the contrast. So unlike the way of the wicked, it is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Really beautiful contrast. The wicked, they do not know over what they stumble. Can you imagine that? They not only stumble, they don't even know. Like, did I stumble? Why? Why? Because their world is darkened. If you are a believer, God who said, light shall shine out of darkness has shone into our hearts the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you have come to know Jesus, you have experienced this all of a sudden. It's like a light switch. Like, why didn't I know this? It's like so simple. The gospel is so simple. Like, why did it took me so long? It is because our eyes are blinded. The gospel is not appreciated. Again, 2 Corinthians 4. People don't believe. Why? They don't accept. Why? Because they're blinded. But when God came, move, open your eyes, what happened? It'd say, I surrender my life to Jesus. That's why you sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And it is not because of you. It is not because I'm so awesome, Pastor. It's like, you know, unlike you, you're wicked. Me, I'm godly, Pastor. Like, you know, I was born to be godly. When I was young, I was already godly. You know? No. But if you really have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand what God has done. It was just, you might not be able to pinpoint when that happened, but you know for a fact that it happened. Your eyes were open. That's why, as a result, you begin to walk according to the Word of God. You get to appreciate the Word of God, and again, it directs your life. And God says, I have directed you. It is to show, it is to teach, it is to instruct, it is to shoot. Okay? And, you know, if you're into shooting, whether bow, an arrow, or guns, or whatever, how do you shoot? Have you seen a bullet or an arrow go, and it will hit the target? Huh? Probably you've watched too many movies if you believe it goes that way. When you shoot something, it just goes straight where it is pointed, right? If you point it downwards, it's going to go downwards. If you point it upwards, it's going to go upwards. And again, God says, I have directed you. I have pointed you in this direction. That's why the more we engage the Word of God, the more we fill ourselves with the Word of God, the better. The more we will be directed in the right path. Why? Because God Himself is the one doing that. You know, this word has been stated in such a way that God is intentionally doing this. Not just intentionally, but He is doing this in line, you know, in character. This is how God wants to do it. And there's no other way. This is not plan B of God. This is the only way that God will do it. And I hope, you know, somehow as we think about that, we get to really appreciate, Lord, thank you. And by the way, that is why we believe in the full inspiration of the Word. Living Word believes in the full inspiration of the Word. That it is no accident that that Word is there. It is for a very specific purpose. By the way, we don't believe that the English is inspired, okay? There are some Christians who believe that, you know, the King James is inspired, Pastor. No, it's not. Okay? Only the original Greek and Hebrew are inspired. And we believe that. And again, this is in line with what God is doing. That's why God directs us. God directs us in what? I have directed you in the way of wisdom. The way, the manner, the habit of life, the course of life. Wisdom, the capacity to understand. So have skill in living, implying adherence to a set standard. God's standard is this. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. That is why we cannot live according to how God wants us to live. That is why when you're set free, now you can do what you are supposed to do. Amen? You know, I'm just reminded, you know, my wife had their family reunion recently. And two of my sons, they were kind of grilled, quote-unquote, by the unbelieving family. Probably they were just curious. So, you know, one of them, like, he was offered a drink. And he says, no, thank you, I don't drink. Like, what are you going to drink? You don't like the Johnny Black? You don't like all of these things? He says, no, I'm good with my water. Like, they were curious. Another one, he was also asked, he was interviewed, like, you just force into this because your parents, you know, all of these things. He said, nah, I came to this on my own. And I don't know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I think the conclusion was something like this. And he was talking to a way, way older man. And he told him, you're a fool to believe that there are multiple truths or something like that. Even him, it's like, what did you say after? It's like, I can't even recall what I said. But it runs along that line. How did that happen? Because of the word of God. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. Same thing. The basic concept of leading has got to do with setting foot on territory. In other words, that's why life abundant, it is given so that our life will be geared towards godliness. Why? Because in a sense, that is our inheritance. That's the promise that when you come to Jesus, you are no longer ungodly. God sees you as righteous in Christ. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When God looks at you, that is why anytime a believer dies, you don't go to purgatory. You get to go to the presence of God. Because already, not yet. You are already fully righteous, but not yet. We are sanctified. That's the mystery of the goodness of God. But then again, while we are still here, we are led. We are supposed to become godly. In the path, I have led you in upright paths. Just like wheel tracks. And this word, again, as I was studying this, I discovered something. This word shares the same root as the word for calf or a lamb. We know what the lamb is, right? What's the purpose for a lamb? An animal used for sacrifice. Now, this might be a stretch, but I believe this is worth considering. You can disagree with me on this. But I believe if we consider this both, not just the track, but even this idea of a sacrificial lamb, God's path has been paved and is pursued. Not without sacrifice. God's path has been paved because of what Jesus has done. God's path is pursued. It doesn't begin with Christ and continues with us, right? It begins with Christ. It is sustained by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, and we join Him in what He is doing. He doesn't leave us alone and say, okay, I'll see you later, son. You're heaven bound anyway, so, you know, what's the point? Figure it out. You want to earn rewards in heaven? Figure it out. I've done more than enough for you. I've opened the door and you still want me to hold you by the hand? Thank God it doesn't say that. But rather, he leads us every step of the way. In upright paths. Paths that are acceptable to God. That is why, again, if we follow the Word of God, if we live according to the Word of God, our lives will become pleasing to God. Our lives will become pleasing to God. And as a result, even what John says, 1 John says, the commandments of God are not burdensome. Have you ever thought about it? How can a command not be burdensome? How many of us here want to be commanded, boss around? You're not humble? You don't have a servant heart? No one wants to be boss around, right? Take for example, the command of God, love your enemies. Like, Lord, loving is already difficult. Why did you have to add enemies? and besides, like, it doesn't make sense. Why would you command love? And a lot of Christians, like, that's why they say, no, it doesn't work that way. It is because they don't understand, again, the Word of God. That God's Word, how it affects our lives when we live it out, it makes life worth living. It causes us to be godly. It sets us on the right path. Now, this path is not just some track or route, but the Lord's established and endorsed path. It is approved and acceptable. It's like your doctor giving you medication. What do you do? Do you follow it? Or do you say, nah, Dr. Nicole doesn't know what she's doing. I'm going to follow what Dr. Lauren says. Right? No. Why? Because your doctor has approved it. You follow it. This is established. This is how it's supposed to be. And God says, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, it's not up for debate. Lord, plan B, Lord. What's the option? I think that's nice, but second opinion or, what's on B? What about C? Can I have A and B together? B and C? Or combine the three? No. It's only one. God has established it. And again, that's why God's Word is relevant for all time. If Jesus so decides that He will not come back for 10,000 years, God's Word will still be relevant. It will not change, brethren. It will not change. Everything will change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will remain. Now, this is the freeing power of the Word of God. The Word of God has been given so that we would not be groping in the dark with regards to godliness. And when He gave it, when God gave it, He gave it intentionally. He gave it willingly. He gave it definitely. Apprehending it fuels appreciation and appetite for it. Apprehending the Word of God, it fuels appreciation and appetite for it. That's why being convinced that the Lord has covered all the bases, the Lord has covered all the bases with regards to what we are to do and how we are to go about life so that we will not stray nor be led astray, causes one to be godly. You know, the reason why a lot of Christians are living a miserable life, joyless. You look at them, it's like they just came from the raisin factory. You know, they're candidates. When you go to Ayala, look at this face, so wrinkly. Oh, giving you seniors discount. when you're still 30 years old. Why? Because there's just no joy. No, they refuse to smile. They refuse to laugh. Like, no, Pastor, laughing is of the devil. Like, what's wrong with you? The reason why these things are so with some, is, and this is true, is because Scripture is misunderstood, if not missing in their lives. Let me just give you a quick example. And I have heard this misunderstood a lot of times again. Matthew 24:24, when it says, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead." And they miss out this very important phrase, "if possible," even the elect. And I have met believers who say, "You know, we need to be very careful. You know, the chip they put in the hand? Dangerous. That's a 666. Put in your forehead. It's in the hand. It's easy. Cut it off. In the head, cannot break your head, right?" And I say, read it again. It says, "if possible." Implication is this. It's not possible. If you are a genuine believer, that's why you're supposed to live according to the Word of God. You have the appetite. You have the appreciation. You apprehend and say, "I want this." As a result, you will not be led astray. But then again, we're so charismatic, we're non-cessationist. Holy Spirit, lead me. But then again, there's no word. How can the Holy Spirit lead you if you're not full of the Word of God? There's no way. Say, you know, I would say basically we get to hear three voices. Your own, which is very loud. Second is of the devil. And third, last, is of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we tend to really say, "This is of the Holy Spirit." How do you know? Because this is what I want. No, it's not. It is quite simple. I'll give you a practical tip. I hope this is useful. I'm sorry. I hope this is useful for you. We have this in our church, like a motto. Exalt, equip, evangelize. Okay, can you repeat that with me? Exalt, equip, evangelize. And you don't turn it around, okay? That's the order. You exist to exalt the Lord, to equip the Lord's people, and to evangelize the lost. Because there's no way you can evangelize the lost if you are not exalting the Lord. What will you tell them? You know, heaven is not complete without you. You know where people will end up if they believe that? Hell. Okay? If you're not exalting the Lord, how will you equip the body? What will you teach the people? "You're so awesome, Brother Lawrence." And Brother Lawrence will go out of this place. "I'm so awesome, man." You know? And what would you tell people? He can't tell people that they're awesome because he won't be awesome anymore. Right? It messes things up. But if you're all about the Lord, exalting the Lord, you get to understand, do I have worth? Yes, I have worth in Jesus alone. My worth is in Christ. It is because of what Christ has done. My identity is in Christ. And that is what you tell people, that Jesus is Lord. Did he die for you? Yeah, amen. No problem with that. But why did he? It is because he's good, he's gracious, he's kind, he's loving. We need to bring people back to that. And how do we know that? How can we get to know that? We go back to the Word of God. That's just one application. Okay? So let me go back to my point. God's Word given gears one's life to be godly. And thirdly, last, God's Word gone about, in other words, undertaken and accomplished, it guards and guides. It causes us to remain and become more godly. It guards and guides the life of the godly. God's Word gone about guards and guides the life of the godly. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, Purchase your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Verse 18. But, beautiful word. I would suggest every time you come across this word, but, brace yourself. Because something is about to happen. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. You know, there are about 10 imperatives here, 10 commands. 6 in the positive, 4 in the negative. These are urgent commands. Here, talked about it. Accept. Talked about it. Take hold. Taking hold there is to strengthen, to make firm, to display strength, to support. And then guard. Again, same idea. To preserve, to keep close. It's becoming more and more intense. To blockade, to guard with fidelity. And it says avoid. You ignore, you neglect. Our problem is this. A lot of times we want to entertain the world. You know, this is what the world is saying. Maybe we can learn something. Of course, you can always learn something. But what can you learn from the world that you cannot learn from the Word? Think about it. Pastor, there's no 1+1 in the Word of God. Nah, don't be a smart aleck. Everything that we need to know for life and living is already in the Word. We've been given the Word. Again, that's the goodness of our God. You don't have to grope in the dark. Lord, guess. No. That's why you avoid, you ignore, you turn away. And again, this word turn away, it's beautiful. Because a lot of times we simply tend to think of turning away, it's going the other way, right? But the idea here is this. It's like having an affair. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you have an affair to know or to understand this. But can you imagine faithful relationship, husband and a wife, and one has an affair? Why? Because that person has found or believes that there is something better than the other person. That's why he or she leaves the spouse and goes to the other one. And that is the idea. And God is saying, you know what? In a sense, have an affair with me. Why? Because our natural tendency is what? We love the world, right? We go after the world. And God says, no, no, no. Leave. Come to me. To the Word. Because there's satisfaction here. Be seduced by the Word. The negatives. Do not let go. In other words, see to it that you are doing it. See to it that you are not letting go. Intentional. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. Do not enter. Stop advancing. Keep on retreating. And as I've said, a lot of us Christians, we do this. How far is too far? You go to Pastor TJ. Pastor, is this sinful? What about this, Pastor? What about some more, some more, some more? How far is too far before I fall? When would you know that you've fallen? When you have already fallen, right? And God says, no, no, no. What you're supposed to do is not check, test how far is too far. But rather, as far as you can, keep on backing up. Keep on backing up. And do not proceed. Have a change of direction. Basically, tell sin, move on. There's nothing to see here. You're not welcome here. Move on, sin. Move on. And how do you do that? Again, without the Word of God, you will not do that. We are bombarded by sin, by temptation, all day long. How do you fight that? You fight it with the Word of God. That's so that you can say it. You don't have to say, Lord! Yeah, Holy Spirit power! You know, be filled with the Word. So that when sin begins to pop up, it's just like the one in time zone, right? Like, what do you call that thing? You know, what that? Yeah, you know what I mean, right? Like, you be watchful, like, with all your might. Move on. I don't need you here. You're not welcome here. Do not pass. Do not pass is this. Look for another way. You might say, you know what, Pastor? Like, there was nothing I could do. I was trapped in a corner. There will always be a way. For every temptation, God provides a way out. My grace is sufficient for you. God, our God is faithful. Our God is faithful, brethren. You know, again, bear with me. I don't get to do this for, I know Pastor TJ preaches short. You get what you pay for right now. This is the Lord's Day, amen? Man. I'm almost done. You know, look for another way. And a lot of times, again, we tend to excuse. One of the excuses when we sin against the Lord is what? I'm only human. For the Bisaya, we have this expression. So pardon those who don't understand Bisaya. We used to have this expression, masipiat king kabaw upatiil. Kabaw day ka. Tao man ka. The cows who have four-legged, they even make mistakes. Are you a cow? They're not, right? At the same time, you say, I'm only human. Really? Does your humanity cause you to sin? No, it's not. Was Jesus fully human? And yet, he was without sin. How can that be? If Jesus is fully human, just like us, same everything, then why was he without sin? Because he did not have the sin nature. Okay? That is why Jesus did not sin. He is not the son of Adam. He did not inherit the sinful nature of Adam. If you say that we are human, that's why we sin, you are virtually attributing sinfulness to God. You're virtually saying God made Adam sinful. And that is not biblically right. And if you say that that humanity causes you to sin, then Jesus didn't have the same humanity as you. As a result, he cannot really represent you before God. Because he paid the price for the sin of no one. Our humanity is not an excuse for sin. Our inheriting, our being children of Adam, that's why we sin. That's why when you come to Christ, now you are a child of God. Now you can look for another way. God's word gone about guards and guides the life of the godly. Quickly, two things. Because godliness empowers the essence of your existence. Godliness empowers the essence of your existence. And second, godliness exhibits the exaltation in the exaltation of your God. It empowers you. When you begin to obey the word of God, it's like a snowball effect. Now, step one, bring you to a higher level. The more you obey the word of God, the more you will be empowered to live a life of godliness, which is, again, why you exist. The essence of your existence. For they cannot sleep, the ungodly, they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That is their nature. That is what brings satisfaction. But for the genuine believer, what brings satisfaction is this. My God is pleased with my life. And the flip side is this. Godliness exhibits your exaltation with a U in the exaltation of your God. In other words, you get to find pleasure, satisfaction, joy, meaning, identity, purpose, direction, everything in life in making your God known. You get to say, hallelujah, all I have is Christ. You get to sing the hymn with full conviction. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. You can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whatever comes my way, it is for the Lord. It is for the Lord. You can say whether it is prosperity, whether it is poverty, it doesn't really matter. Why? Because my God deserves all the glory for what He has brought to my life. We don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Or do you? I know I don't. I know your pastor doesn't. Don't believe in the prosperity gospel, but it doesn't mean that we cannot be prospered. You guys are prosperous here. Just look at your faces. So fat. Right? I mean, we're blessed. We're blessed. Amen? But at the very same time, it doesn't mean that those who are not enjoying what we are enjoying are cursed by the Lord. I mean, you know, maybe because they're living in sin, but generally speaking, you know, one of our pastors in Living Word right now, and I'm sharing this because pray for him, pray for his family. Pastor Ramil, Sister Salve has cancer. Okay, and it is a very aggressive form. And you know, if you believe in the prosperity gospel, you will get to question, why is this happening to a pastor who's been serving faithfully for decades? You know, and I was talking to him a couple of days ago. He says, you know, temptation to think from a worldly perspective is to think malas. Malas after malas after malas, misfortune after misfortune. You know, the doctor who was supposed to operate goes on a vacation. They come and then, they operated on the cyst and it was not really the root. Like, they got the wrong one. Like, oh, but then again, he says, the end has been written. The end has been written. It doesn't matter. And how did he come to that conclusion? It is because of the Word of God. He understands that, you know what? God's Word has been given so that I will be godly. I would be godly. I would please my Lord. That in my rejoicing, in my finding satisfaction in this life, it is so that my God will be glorified regardless of my situation. We might not like it. We might not like what God sends our way. But know this for certain, brethren. Our God is sovereign and He does whatever pleases Him. There's no plan B with God. There's only plan A. And keep in mind that God exists for Himself primarily. The chief end of God is to glorify Himself. That is why we believers, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There's only one seat on the stage, and it is reserved for the Lord Jesus alone. The song that we sang, is anyone worthy? Is anyone worthy? It is the song of heaven, right? Who is worthy to open the seals, the scroll? No one. They were sad, and Jesus comes along. He alone is worthy for His glory. You know, the question that I ask at the outset might be important. But you know, there's a question that is actually more important that each and every one needs to answer. The question of whether God has directed you in the way of wisdom. Whether He has led you in upright paths. In other words, you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Because there's no way, there is no way these things that we've talked about can be true in your life unless Jesus has been Lord already in your life. Is Lord already in your life. You don't have the power. You don't have the privilege of being led by God. In God's goodness, again, because the mystery of His will, His grace and His love. Though we are sinners, though we deserve His wrath, we are His enemies. He sent His only begotten Son to take our place at the cross. Not because we are worthy, but because He is gracious. Not because we are lovable, but because He is loving. It is not because of us, it is despite us. It begins there. And again, in the goodness of our God, He doesn't leave us afterwards. He says, come to me and be saved. And after you have been saved, listen to me. I know what I am doing. I know what I'm doing. I will lead you in upright paths so that at the end of your life, and even while you are still here, you get to experience what Jesus promised, that you get to live an abundant life the way we're supposed to, that we get to glorify God the way we're supposed to, because God's word is directly, it's inseparable to the godly life. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your kindness, God. Thank you for giving us your word that we don't grope around in the dark, that there's no guessing. Lord, your word is clear. Your instructions are clear. Thank you, Lord, that not only have you given your word, but grace is always available that we can do your word. Lord, I pray for each and everyone here. If there is anyone who has not yet come to know what you have done, I pray that you open his or her eyes to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the grace of God, to the love of God. Salvation will come. I pray as well for the rest of my brethren here, for all of us, that we really get to live for you. Lord, correct our understanding. Forgive for the countless times that we have misinterpreted your word, that we have abused your word, that we have used it in a wrong way. Lord, forgive. And we pray for ourselves, all of us here, Father, that from this day onwards, we will be careful to consider your word, to pay heed to what you have made known, that you will be glorified in the lives that you have redeemed. Lord, I pray as well for what I have said here, that you will purify it. Whatever has been said in error, Father, I pray, take it away, that your people will not be led astray. Whatever has been confusing, Holy Spirit, shed light on these things. Make it clear. Whatever has been lacking, fill it up. And again, we truly will grow in godliness. Lord, I pray as well for this church, IT Park. You to bless them, O God. Continue, Lord, to guard them, Pastor TJ, the rest of the leaders of this church, members of this church. Use them mightily Use them mightily in this area and even beyond. Let your word really be rooted. Let your word really prosper in this church, oh God. Provide for them, bless them, Lord. Be glorified in their midst, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.